Ephesians 6:18, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. If you'd join me in prayer this morning. Lord, we thank you for today. Lord, we thank you for being able to worship today. We thank you for your Son, Jesus. We thank you for the sacrifice, and we thank you for your grace and mercy, Lord. And Father, we just, many requests today, and, you know, thinking of Larry Schumann, Father, just be with him in his, as he's battling some things there, Lord. And Lord, it is also especially lift up Melissa as they're traveling to Sioux City, and just ask for safe travels for them. Lord, just ask for the people and the doctors and the nurses that they know, just give them the wisdom. And Lord, strength and courage. Just ask that for Melissa and Pastor Dave. And Lord, it is all there. You know, there's just a lot of needs here, Lord, and just also lift up Amy McKenzie, Amy Cutchell McKenzie, and Father, just ask you protect the baby and the mom, and Lord, we lift them up to you. And Lord, you just also lift up Pastor Chris, as we had a call in audible this morning, Lord, and Lord, that Lord, just give him the words, and just lift him up to you, and Lord, just help us to hear the words and apply them, Lord. And Father, we also lift up the Central District and just the work they do for helping churches around the Midwest here. And Father, just give those guys the wisdom to lead, and to help the churches in the area, Lord. And Father, we lift these things up to you. In your name we pray. Amen.
That video that I gave you, just for a second, if you would. I was trying to communicate like sign language. Yeah, plans are plans, and they sometimes need to be changed, right, in life. That's this morning. Some external things happen, and you adjust on the fly, and you just trust that the Lord is binding and holding all together. So in the announcements, I did forget a few things in the hecticness of the passing period between Sunday school and service. And one of those things I definitely wanted to highlight was Faith Johnson has sent a message to the elders probably a couple months ago now, and I chatted with her. She had an opportunity to go on a short-term mission trip connected in part through her school to Baja, Mexico. And so real quick, I'm just going to have her come up and just share a little bit about that trip, because we're going to be sponsoring her with our short-term missions giving as part of this deal. She's going to be on yellow. There you go.
Hello, everyone. So I'm Faith Johnson, if you don't know me. I go to Northwestern College. I'm a sophomore this year. And I had the wonderful opportunity to go on an international mission trip for my spring break. And we're going to Baja, Mexico, which is super exciting. And we've worked with them for quite a few years. This year, we're going to be building a kitchen for them. In previous years, we built them a school and everything. So we're going to add on to that and build them a kitchen. We're also going to be helping with their VBS program. And yeah, just kind of pouring into them and really helping them. And our verse that we really want to highlight this year for our mission is 2 Corinthians 8:14. And it's all about abundance. And it reads, "At the present time, your plenty will supply what they need, so that in turn, their plenty will supply what you need. The goal is equality." So yeah, it's kind of just amazing to see how like God uses these missions, not just for us to spread the word of God and like let these kids know that there is salvation, but also we are learning from God while we're on these missions. So yeah, I'm super excited to go. I am also going on an SOS, so summer of service, but I'll have more information on that later. For that, I'm going to be going to Brazil. But yeah, I will give you guys more information later on that one. I have pamphlets and little more informational sheets. If you would like to help fundraise, I don't need to raise too much money, but if you feel like you are being called to just support, you can support Northwestern or you can just support me for my funding. But yeah, no pressure or anything, but always feel free to reach out and ask me any questions as well. Thank you, guys.
Thank you, Faith. I remember, man, many years ago, coming out of that big C word, when everything was shut down for a while, we had an impact, a changed around impact held at Hidden Acres, and I remember spending a couple later nights with Faith Allen, one of Faith's friends, in one of the fireplace rooms, just talking, and they were so eager. They had their fresh new Bibles in hand, and they were asking some fun questions, and to see, like, from that moment to where Faith is now in her walk with Christ, it's just awesome. She's doing big things for the kingdom, and we're just so proud of you, and thank you for loving the Lord the way you do and serving Him the way you do. That's truly, truly awesome. Obviously, this is a bit of a different kind of scenario. I have nothing planned. I have a little idea, but I kind of want to hear from you guys first before I get into my thoughts. Does anybody have a family Christmas tradition that they either experienced as a kid or kept going as they became parents or held on to as you became grandparents in that little way? Does anybody have a Christmas tradition that your family has done? You read the Christmas story, talking about the true gift of Christmas before you break into the gifts we share with each other that are wrapped in boxes. That's an awesome, awesome thing, and that continues to this day. Yes, that's perfect. That's awesome. Anybody else have any traditions that they'd like to share?
Ever since I was a little boy, my mom is from Germany, and a lot of you knew my mom. She was an awesome lady. She made what's called Stollen, and a lot of you have never heard of it. It's a sweet bread, and I've eaten a lot of it in the last couple weeks. And she made it every year. You make about 18 loaves per batch, and about the first week in December, she would be making it. Well, as she got older, she had a lot of arthritis in her fingers, and she couldn't knead the bread because that's a lot of dough. And so about, I suppose, 15 years ago, some Saturday morning, I'd go down and we'd make it, and we loved it. Everybody loved it. And last Saturday, I make it every year. My sister makes it every year. Last Saturday, when it was snowing, I said, "Hey, this is the day for Christmas bread." And so I made a batch, and I've been eating well.
That's awesome. Those memories.
And sharing. Yeah. Loaves,
okay. Stolen.
Stollen.
It's stolen some of the belt loops in your belt.
Such a family tradition. A few years ago, my daughter made tea towels with the recipe on it.
Oh.
And it's just a great memory.
That's awesome. Memory that connects generations. That's awesome. That's fantastic. Anybody else have any family traditions they'd like to share? Carol? Yes.
We've always put up a whole lot of Christmas lights, and at the center of it is the nativity scene.
Yeah.
And my granddaughter, Kay, is living out to the farmhouse now, and she's continued that tradition. And this year, she won the Battle Creek Christmas light display.
Awesome. With the nativity right there in the center. That's awesome. That's great. I don't know if it's really a tradition, but since I've come to know the Johnson family, they've had this. I never knew about this in my family. We had other things that the ladies made, but they've made these pepper nuts. And first time I ever had a pepper nut was probably in Rose's house. But just this week, it's funny how these little memories and things spark in somebody. But just this week, Logan said, we need to make pepper nuts. And I was like, well, tell Grandma we need to make pepper nuts. Anyway, so guess what we're doing this afternoon? Making pepper nuts as a family. So that'll be fun. I think Christmas time is an awesome time to bring, it brings family together. And like last week, we heard about all the symbols of Christmas, the stuff, as one of the kids put it, of Christmas in the musical, the play here. And everything points to our Savior, Jesus Christ. From the lights, to the community, to breaking bread together, to even the sharing of gifts. We share gifts out of the good grace that God gave us, the gift of Christ, that Christmas morn. I have a short video that's going to be a little transition piece into a short lesson. See if we can get this thing to go. This was last minute here, though.
So. You've been dumb before, Charlie Brown, but this time you really did it. What a treat! I guess you were right, Linus. I shouldn't have picked this little tree. Everything I do turns into a disaster. I guess I really don't know what Christmas is all about. Isn't there anyone who knows what Christmas is all about?
Sure, Charlie Brown. I can tell you what Christmas is all about. Lights, please. And there were in the same country shepherds, abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them. And the glory of the Lord shone round about them. And they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not. For behold, I bring you tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. That's what Christmas is all about, Charlie Brown.
One of kind of a quasi-tradition in my family when I was young is at some point during the Christmas break from school, we would all end up somehow or some way watching the Charlie Brown Christmas special as a family. And, you know, the Peanuts gang, they can be pretty rotten at times. I mean, they're pretty mean to each other, especially to Charlie Brown. He gets just kicked in the shorts all the time. Seems like the world is never quite on his side until the very end when something triggers and they all come back together. A couple things stood out to me as I watched the Charlie Brown Christmas program, and one of them obviously is Linus and his message to his friends. Just before he came out to the middle of the floor, called for the lights, he just witnessed his friends, his Peanuts gang, all laugh, ridicule, make fun of, point fingers, do all this nasty stuff towards Charlie Brown. They were not sharing the joy of Christmas in that moment. They were not sharing the peace of Christmas in that moment. And it had been easy for Linus to just go along, to just be part of the crowd, to jump in and continue on with the negative talk towards Charlie Brown in that moment. But he didn't. I think it's so profound, so beautiful in the meekness that is Linus, carrying around his little security blanket, sucking on his thumb when he gets nervous, that in his meekness, he is full of boldness in the truth that is God's word. He is bold in the gospel of God's word, and he marches out to the middle of that stage in front of all of his peers and preaches God's word to them. And in the same region there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them. And then the glory of the Lord shone around them. And they were filled with great fear. That part of the passage of the story, I can never overlook. Can you imagine the glory, just being out into a dark field and the glory of the Lord is shown around you? Incredible. I can't even imagine something so beautiful in my life. The glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, a phrase that is said over and over and over in Scripture when humans are being communicated by God or by one of God's angels, fear not. In this world, we live at times with a certain amount of fear for what we see on the news. This week was a tough week. I mean, there's stuff going on domestically that we just kind of shake our head at and say, why, God? And then you look around the world and the geopolitical issues that plague our world. You just kind of shake your head. Why, Lord? We could be living in great crippling fear because of what we see on the news, what we hear in our ears, what we look at online as we're scrolling social media sites. And if we could just in that moment think back to those two words, fear not. Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger. And then hear this. Suddenly, there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God, saying, again, try to put yourself in that field. The glory of the Lord, the angels saying, fear not, giving you this message of hope that is the birth of our Savior. And then the angels of the heavenly host come around. They start singing, glory to God in the highest and on earth, peace among those with whom he is pleased. It's one of those things like, you might get a little FOMO, fear of missing out in that moment, knowing what the shepherd boys saw and heard and experienced. The heavenly host praising God for this message that was just spoken to them. When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which is the Lord, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told to them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all that they had heard and seen, as it had been told them. I think it's telling in the Charlie Brown Christmas that we just watched, that when little old Linus, with his security blanket in hand, goes out and begins to testify, when he gets to the moment where he says, "Fear not," he drops his little security blanket. His trust is in what he is speaking about, the Lord. In that moment, when his eyes are focused on the Lord, he was secure in who he was as a child of God, and he was secure in what he was speaking as God's word. "Fear not, for unto you born this day in the city of David." You know, but when his little speech was over, when he had taken his eyes off wherever he was looking, he's kind of had a gaze kind of out and up a bit, he went back over and picked up his blanket. And then when he talked to Charlie Brown, stuck his thumb back in his mouth. I think he knows where his hope is found. I think he knows where his strength is found. But in the end, I think he points to what a lot of us, myself included, struggle with. It's truly letting go. Letting go and letting the glory of the Lord, letting Emmanuel, letting God with us truly invade our heart. Letting the Holy Spirit come in and transform us from our old life to our new life in Christ. I would love to have seen a scene, very same scene, where Linus just continues walking right on by his little blankie as he has this newfound confidence in the Lord. But he didn't in this show. That's kind of my prayer for myself and my prayer for you guys as well. The Charlie Brown gang were all focused on the glitz and the glamour and the lights and the size and the spectacle of a perfect tree, making sure everything was perfect for the show. And of course, that's not going to happen because Charlie Brown is fumbling his directorial debut in this thing. And, you know, we can kind of get caught up in that stuff too. We can get caught up in the lights, the glitz, the glamour. We can get caught up in the gift giving and gift receiving without thinking of why we give and receive gifts around Christmas time. So it's my hope, it's my prayer that this Christmas might be a little bit different as far as that goes, and that we are able to truly have our eyes fixed on the reason that we celebrate these things, Jesus Christ, God with us, Emmanuel, God leaving his heavenly throne and coming to this imperfect world that we've made of God's creation, this imperfect world where it often seems like darkness is gaining a foothold, where hurt, where evil, where sickness and illness seems to be lurking around every corner. Let us fix our gaze on Jesus Christ, our Savior, the light of the world, the Prince of Peace, Emmanuel, God with us. And not just on the baby in a manger, but let's think through what that means as it relates to the man on the cross. Let's think through what that means to an empty tomb where a stone had been rolled away. Let's think what that means to 500 plus people seeing a risen Christ, making truth of what he said that was going to happen, that in 3 days he was going to rebuild a temple that can never be broken. The risen Lord, our Savior, Jesus Christ, may this Christmas we put our hope, our faith, our trust in that gift. In that gift. And there might be, as Dave likes to say, in a room this size, there might be some who are struggling with something that's separating them from God this season, from some sin that's separating from God this season. You can repent, you can turn back, and you can receive the greatest gift that you will ever receive in Jesus Christ. Just go to him. Say, Lord, I am broken, I have sinned, and I can't fix this on my own. I need you. And he is there. He is with you. That is the greatest gift that one could ever receive. It's a gift of eternity. It's a gift of life. It's a gift of hope. And it's a gift that those that have received that gift and have accepted that gift and walk in that gift, it's a gift that we should be sharing with boldness, like the Linus that dropped his blanket. Let's share that gift of boldness. Let's talk to our neighbors. Let's invite our neighbors out to come experience what this Jesus is all about. You don't have to have the right words to say. Sometimes it's just, hey, come with me on Sunday. Hey, come with me on Wednesday night. Hey, come with me. Let me share what God has done in my life with you. We have an opportunity to be the light and to be a gift givers of that greatest gift of all, that is our Savior Jesus Christ. Let us, like the angels, proclaim glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for your word that we find in Luke chapter 2. We thank you for the message of the angel and the heavenly host and the magnificent hymn that was sung over that countryside so many years ago. May it be a chorus that doesn't go quiet in our own hearts. May it be a chorus that we're able to proclaim and to sing full throat with all of our heart, giving praise to God, glory to God in the highest. God, be with those that can't be with us today for whatever the reason. Lord, we lift them up to you. We just ask that your Spirit pour out over them and let them know that they are loved, that they are cared for, and that they are missed when they are not with us. And just help us to keep our eyes fixed towards you this Christmas season. And that when we see the symbols of Christmas, we see the face of our Savior, Jesus Christ. When we give gifts, we give out of the abundance of what God has first given us. When we receive gifts with the humility of knowing that the greatest gift that we could ever receive is your Son, Jesus Christ. God, may we do all these things in your name in a way that brings you glory this Christmas. Lord, we thank you. We love you. Amen.